Good afternoon, everybody listening on RadioLoria.com. Now, I know you're expecting, hey, DJ Hatsaw, what's going on, buddy? You're going to have another guest on here, right? You're going to continue that series that we all love so much, the Opposing Views series that you're doing. You were on F the Patriarchy on Wednesday. You did the Opposing Views thing. That was great. You're going to have her on the show. Let's hear some more of it. Unfortunately, Shatha couldn't make it. She had something else come up, which is very unfortunate. We're going to try and get her on, hopefully, sooner rather than later. She's doing work. Listen, Shatha, I get it. You're busy. Shatha and I, we're very, I don't want to say we're close, but we're still good friends. I don't want people to think, oh, they argued last week, so they and now she's not coming on the show. Oh, she must hate him. No, Shatha and I are good friends. Shatha and I got along just fine. Like I said in a post after that show, we literally shook hands and hugged afterwards and said, hey, I said, I was happy I could come on your show and talk about this. And she said, yeah, I love having people with opposing views so we can talk about this on. It was a great show. But unfortunately, something came up with Shatha, the host of F the Patriarchy. So unfortunately, she couldn't make it on the show. But in this show, I will be just covering what we would have talked about if she had come on the show. Hopefully, she can come on another time, though, because that was probably one of my favorite things that we had done, because we just were able to express our opinions openly, and there was no hatred between us. It was great, and we just you could sense that even though we did have different political views, we still were able to, you know, come together and say, hey, we're still good friends at the end of the day. We still don't hate each other because we have opposing views. And that's what I liked about that show. We were still able to remain decent human beings with each other, even though, you know, it seemed like we got heated at times. So in this episode of the Bravo Sierra Hour, we're going to be talking about toxic masculinity, gun rights, and patriotism, because that's what we were going to talk about in the last episode, in this episode anyways, so I'll just cover it, and hopefully we can get Shatha in so that she can share her opinions too, hopefully, you know, because I really did like talking to her. Anywho, this is going to be another rant episode. I know you guys are like, come on, Quinn, we love your interviews. Next week, I'm having my little sister on, which is going to be great, so you'll get finally, an interview episode of the Bravo Sierra Hour, because I know how much you guys love those, and they're fun for me too, honestly. So I hope you guys can forgive me this one time, because I realize I'm doing a lot of rant episodes, just me talking all the time, and I realize that can get a bit annoying. So we're just going to play some music for you right now. It's going to be great. And we're going to hear me rant about stuff. So let's dive right in. First of all, let's talk about toxic masculinity. So I believe that there's a danger when there's a certain danger in saying that anytime men exert themselves in a stereotypical masculine way, that's toxic. There are obviously biological differences between men and women. I don't think anyone would argue that. For example, men have testosterone, women have estrogen. That's a biological difference. And these biological differences express themselves in temperaments and occupational choices. We see this in Scandinavia, where the playing field has been leveled completely so that everyone has equal opportunity, and men tend to head towards more stereotypical masculine fields, such as the trades and things like that, whereas women go into nursing and caring for people. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course not. Men can do what they want, women can do what they want, as long as they're not hurting anyone. Guys, and also, people always say guys are inherently bullies. Men are not only bullies because of their masculine traits. No, everyone bullies, and it's wrong. And also toxic masculinity is obviously pointed to when in cases of rape. Oh, rape is toxic masculinity. No, it's not. I think we can all agree rape is bad. No one likes rapists. I think that they are deplorable human beings. And masculinity was never toxic in World War I, World War II, Vietnam. But all of a sudden, it's evil because we had one or two screw-ups who misused their biological fortitudes in order to do something terrible. And people will suddenly point to, hey, he messed up, so all masculinity is toxic. No, not all masculinity is toxic. It's the individual and how they use their masculinity in order to express themselves. And the media companies have been making ads objectifying women for years, and that's obviously horrible. But now when we glorify, when men are, we're told to glorify women sexually, which is obviously wrong, women should be treated with respect. So, but then when men do that, the same companies that advertised in that way, sexualizing women, they're seen as horrible, even though the companies that were shoving that crap down your mouth a decade ago aren't the same companies that are saying, hey, you're bad. So young men are getting very confused. It's like, what do I do? And then they just shut up, which is bad as well, because then you're stifling 50% of the population. And people always point out also, boys will be boys. As if people are saying, oh, boys will be boys, that's why they act so douchey. And we discussed this on Wednesday. I can say douchebag on air. Yes, we discovered that on F the Patriarchy on Wednesday. I can call someone a douchebag on air. Yes, okay, small victories. But if someone acts as a douchebag, people will often say, oh, some people will say boys will be boys for that. No, that's someone being a douchebag. Not someone being boys will be boys. Boys will be boys is often used because boys roughhouse and break stuff. Boys roll around all the time. I have two younger brothers. My dad didn't teach us to wrestle with each other, but we do. We still do to this day. And people say, oh, that's bad. No, that's just us filled with testosterone saying, hey, I'm tougher than you. Let's wrestle and find out who's tougher. It's not bad. It's just a fun way and a safe way of expressing yourself honestly. And that's why I love martial arts. It's a safe way to express your masculinity. It's not a bad thing. It's safe, and it's in an environment where if someone does get hurt, they get penalized for it. Another person gets penalized for it. In the Gillette commercial, the infamous Gillette commercial, for those who don't know, Gillette put out a political ad about toxic masculinity. And Gillette, first off, no one wants to hear politics from an inanimate object. Thank you. But in the Gillette commercial, we see this guy stop his buddy who sees an attractive female and says, whoa, and he goes to talk to her. What's wrong with that? We don't know if that guy's going to be a douchebag or if he's going to be a gentleman. And that's the problem. When men try and flirt with women, they're, no matter what, they're seen as the aggressor, the bad guy, no matter what they say. And we don't know, some men are that way. Some men will go up, hit on a girl, and say, hey, how about I take you back to my place, and I'll show you the time. No, that's not how you do it. But we don't know if that guy is going to be a gentleman and say, hey, you seem very nice. Let's have a conversation. Let me get to know you. Or if he's going to say, hey, I'm just going to sexualize you. We don't know that. But people instantly jump to the conclusion that men will be douchebags. And that's wrong, just because they're men and have testosterone. And that's wrong. And toxic masculinity is also saying, oh, men should cry all the time just because, you know, it's good to show emotion. Yeah, it's good for men to show their emotions. I agree with that. Men should be able to cry when it's appropriate to cry. But sometimes, you know, it's inappropriate to cry. I remember there was a story I heard. There was a guy in a veterinarian shop, in a veterinarian's place, because unfortunately, his dog had cancer. The dog had an operation. Dog's all right, everyone. The dog is okay. But there was this girl in the vet shop. Why do I keep saying that? In the veterinarian clinic. And unfortunately, her dog was very old, 14 years old, which is very old in dog years. It's over 80. And unfortunately, the dog was going to have to be put down. So, and obviously, this girl was very sad, as anyone would be, that she was going to have to put down her dog because It's very emotional. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it because I have a little schnoodle at home, Brody, who I love very much. And I'd tear up if I had to put him down because I love him a lot. But, the guy who whose doctors had the operation went over and tried to comfort and, you know, comforted her, you know, said, hey, listen. He joked around with her a bit, tried to cheer her up a bit, and it works. You know, she smiled for a bit, whatever. And, you know, it was going to be a hard experience, but he wanted to make her life, you know, a bit better for a few minutes before she had to go through this very sad experience. So, in that scenario, toxic masculinity worked. He didn't cry. He, you know, didn't get choked up and cry alongside her. No, he stayed strong, didn't cry, and then when he got home, he told his wife about the scenario, and once he had made sure that his wife was all right, then he was able to express himself emotionally. So that's where toxic masculinity works. He didn't cry because he had to support that person in their time of need, and if he had cried, then that would have made her even sadder that she was putting down her dog. So then it would have just deteriorated the entire situation. And, you know, no one wants to make anyone feel worse about their situation. So that's when toxic masculinity, air quotes, worked. Because men shouldn't have to cry all the time. They should be able to cry, for sure, express their emotions, laugh, cry, be happy, be sad, whatever. But they shouldn't have to cry when there's a sad moment all the time. They should be able to say, you know what, I'm going to be strong here. I'm going to be strong here, you know, if you're at a funeral, you should be able to, you know, be sad if you want to, but also you should be able to be calm and composed, give a nice speech and say, wow, so people can say, hey, wow, he's taking this, obviously he's sad, but he's still being able to stand up and be strong. That's great. And then people can come up to you and you can tell them, listen, I'm feeling really sad. And once you've made sure that it's an appropriate time, then you can get really emotional. But that's what I think, and that's where I think people get it wrong all the time. Men should be able to express themselves maturely. You know, they should cry when they're sad, laugh when they're happy. But, yeah, they have to be, you know, at times they also have to, you know, stand up because they don't want to make other people feel worse. And that's my stance on the toxic masculinity scenario. Because it is, men should be able to express themselves, their masculinity, but at the same time, it's tough. So we're going to play some music for you now so we can break up these, you know, intervals of me ranting. Because not everyone wants to hear my amazing radio voice for, you know, ages, even though you will be forced to listen to me. This entire show. Sorry, folks. Also, Spotify. I will keep on Spotify until we are able to get Spotify Premium around here. We need Spotify Premium. We do need Spotify Premium. Just looking for a good song for you guys. If you guys have song requests, please do send them my way. Because I love hearing your requests for music. It's great. But yeah. So what are your thoughts on toxic masculinity, though? Because I really did want to have Shatha on the show. But, you know, it's tough. Anywho, here's All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that song. I know I do. I love classic rock a lot. It's honestly one of my favorite genres of music. I love classic rock. But yeah, like I said, Shatha unfortunately couldn't make it, but we're still ranting. I just covered toxic masculinity in case you missed it, but now we are moving on to guns. That's right, guns. I know gun control can be a bit of a touchy subject sometimes, but I'm just going to go over what the laws are in Canada. And it's just... So in Canada, we have very different laws than the U.S. And obviously we have different forms of government, so our laws are going to be different. I do own a couple guns just for hunting, and I have been to a gun range before, and obviously in the military I have fired a couple different types of guns as well. But, you know, to each their own. If you don't want to own a gun, it's up to you. If you want to own a gun, go right ahead, just as long as you're abiding by the legislation set in place by Canada. I do not see anything wrong with it. So, in Canada, the gun legislation is largely based around licensing and registration of firearms, including air guns, air rifles, with a muzzle velocity of 500 or more feet per second and 4.2 pounds of energy. Lots of people don't know that if you do own certain air rifles, you actually have to register them too, just because they can be used as a weapon. So, handgun registration became a law in 1934 in Canada, and automatic firearms registration was added in 1951. I do not believe you can own a automatic weapon in Canada, and if you do, there's a whole bunch of stuff behind it. In 1969, laws classified firearms as non-restricted, restricted, and prohibited. Starting in 1979, individuals who wished to acquire firearms were required to obtain a firearms acquisition certificate, so an FAC, from their police agency. From 1995 to 2012, all firearms owners were required to possess a firearms license, which is still the same today. And all firearms are required to be registered. Firearms license holders are automatically subjected to daily background checks. So if today I'm normal and tomorrow I commit a crime, they'll know about it. I can't own a gun anymore. No need to go through and it says if a firearms license holder commits a crime, his or her license will be revoked. Non-restricted. So now let's go into the definitions of the classifications of firearms. So, like I said, there's non-restricted, restricted, and prohibited. A non-restricted firearm is any rifle or shotgun that is neither restricted nor prohibited. Most common long guns are non-restricted, but there are exceptions. So, if you want to go own a shotgun for hunting or most types of rifles for hunting, that's fine. If you want to use them at a range, that's fine. But there are some exceptions. A restricted firearm means means a handgun that is not a prohibited firearm, because there are some handguns that are prohibited. A firearm that is not a prohibited firearm has a barrel capacity of less than 470 millimeters in length, is capable of discharging center-fire ammunition in a semi-automatic manner, and people often get semi-automatic and automatic confused. People who don't tend to have a vast knowledge of guns, such as people who may have never touched a gun in their life. Semi-automatic means you are pulling the trigger to shoot. Fully automatic or automatic means you can just hold down the trigger and it'll fire. And I often hear people say, this gun is fully semi-automatic. That means absolutely nothing. Fully semi-automatic means it's semi-automatic. A shotgun is semi-automatic. A pistol is semi-automatic. There's no such thing as full semi-automatic. Full semi-automatic means I am pulling the trigger every time I shoot the gun. There's a difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic. And people always confuse that when they're talking about guns. It's ridiculous. But yeah, so back to restricted firearms. A restricted firearm is a firearm that's designed or adapted to be fired when reduced in length to less than 660 millimeters by folding, telescoping, or otherwise, or a firearm of any kind that is prescribed to be a restricted firearm by regulations by in the regulations prescribing certain firearms and other weapons, components, and parts of weapons, accessories, cartridge, magazines, ammunition, and projectiles as prohibited, restricted, or non-restricted. So, just to put this in perspective, if you want to buy, just to simplify this, if you want to own a shotgun or rifle, with a couple exceptions, you get your non-restricted license, and that's what most hunters have. Most hunters have their non-restricted license. I have my non-restricted license, so I can go buy a shotgun or a rifle, and yeah. A restricted license is mostly for people who want to get more heavy rifles that will fire, that look military grade but aren't because they aren't fully automatic, and also handguns. Now, a prohibited firearm means a handgun that has a barrel equal to or less than 105 millimeters in length, or is designed or adapted to discharge a 25 to 32 caliber cartridge, and does not include any such handgun that is prescribed, where a handgun is for use in international sporting competitions governed by the rules of International Sports Shooting Union. So if you want to own a sport gun, you have to get your prohibited license, which is very, very hard to get. A firearm that is adapted from a rifle or shotgun, whether by sawing, cutting off, or any other alteration, and that, as so adapted, is less than 660 millimeters in length, or 660 millimeters or greater in length, and has a barrel that is less than 457 milliliters in length. Any automatic firearm, whether or not it has been altered or discharged, only one projectile with one pressure of the trigger. So, prohibited guns, automatic guns are prohibited in Canada, which means either it's illegal for you to own them, or if you have a prohibited license, it's very, very, very hard for you to get them. So, when it says has been altered to So when it says one projectile in one pressure of the trigger, I'm pulling the trigger once, it's firing. That's semi-automatic. That's legal. If I pull the trigger and it's firing rapidly, that's a prohibited firearm. You can get arrested for having that in Canada if you only have a non-restricted or restricted firearm license. And the final description for a prohibited firearm is any firearm that is prescribed to be prohibited by the firearm and regulations prescribing firearms and other weapons, components, or parts of weapons, accessories, cartridge magazines, ammunition, projectiles prohibited, restricted, and non-restricted. So, what this means is, in Canada, prohibited gun should also be, say I had a grandpa who fought in World War II. He had he'd like to keep his assault rifle or whatever that he used in World War II. That'd be a prohibited firearm. So he would have to get a prohibited firearms license because it's a historical artifact that he owns. And then that gun would be registered to him so that if someone was to do something horrific with that type of gun, they'd say, oh, hey, there's a guy who owns this type of gun and fought in World War II. He has his prohibited firearms license. Let's go check this guy out. And that's why I like Canadian firearm regulations, because we actually have them documented. I know that's very controversial in the U.S., but it works here in Canada. I believe that only military and police personnel should have fully automatic weapons unless it's a historical gun that your family owns, because yes, they're fun to fire, and if you're out of firing range, go right ahead, but there's no really, like, it's a dangerous weapon, too, so I can see both sides of the argument for that. But owning a shotgun, owning a rifle, that's just good for hunting, good for, you know, you can use them for self-defense as long as you follow along with Canadian regulations for self-defense and reasonable cause for using the gun, and you can use them at a range. That's what I like about guns, and they're just fun to fire too. You get a huge dump of energy when you do fire a gun, a huge adrenaline rush. It's so fun. If you've never fired a gun before, and maybe you're anti-gun, and I understand why, go to a gun range, go to a gun range, get the safety brief, go through all the safe stuff, then fire a gun, because that way you are in a safe environment to shoot a gun. Or maybe go on a hunting trip with your buddy, see what he does. Because I hunt because, A, it's a great way to reconnect with nature, and B, I like to know where my meat's coming from. There's a lot of factory farming that goes on right now that uses hormones that, you know, mistreats the animals, and that's bad. So when I go hunting, I know, hey, I killed this animal, it died peacefully, it's no extra hormones, it was raised in the wild, this meat came to me, I know where it came from, so I know, there were no unnecessary deaths. That's another thing that people always think about hunting. They think, oh, they can just go out anytime, anywhere, and just hunt anytime, you know, and shoot anything. No, there's specific seasons and specific places you can go hunt, you can legally hunt certain animals. I can't just go out there and just think, oh, today I'm going to shoot a deer and tomorrow I'm going to shoot a goose. No, that's not how hunting works. You have to get a permit to hunt. I have my hunting license. You then have to go pay for, you know, you have to pay for the right to go hunt the animal. And you might not even get a chance to go hunting an animal with certain things. Like, you have to be entered in a raffle. You have to pay to enter in a raffle for a deer. And then, if you get lucky enough to get the deer tag, you can only hunt one deer per tag that you have. So, hunting actually contributes to the majority of, conservation in Canada. Fishing and wildlife, natural resources, are protected by hunters. And I'm not saying that they're the only ones. Obviously, individuals donate all the time, but it's a major, major contributing factor in the preservation of Canada's beautiful wildlife. And people say, oh, you say that you love animals, but you kill them. Yeah. Yeah. I can still appreciate animals and hunt them. I'm pretty sure everyone who eats a burger still loves dogs and loves, you know, horses and cows and all that. And it's just, yeah, you can still love something and eat it. And also, we're higher on the food chain than most of these animals that we're hunting anyways. So, and also, it's a good way to reconnect with your friends and family. I go hunting with my dad all the time. It's fun just to, you know, sit back there at like 6 a.m., 5 or 6 a.m., just sit there in a blind and be like, so, how's the university going? Good. How's teaching going? Good. And we have these really fun conversations, and I've gone hunting a whole bunch, and it's great. So, yeah. And that's why I think people should either go hunting or at least fire a gun. That way you know where you stand on hunting and guns. And who knows, maybe you'll change your opinion on hunting and guns. Because I know, personally, I was really scared the first time I shot a shotgun. Scared the daylights out of me. Because, you know, it has a lot of kickback. But once you get past that scaredness, it's really fun. Anyhow, we're going to load some more music here. It's Friday, St. Patrick's Day on Sunday, so everybody's working for the weekend. Here's Lover Boy with Working for the Weekend. So the third topic I would have been covering today with Shatha would have been patriotism. Now, people often confuse patriotism and nationalism. Patriotism is a love and support for one's countries and its interests. And nationalism is an extreme patriotism where they believe in the superiority of their nation and possibly the race that resides within. That's what Hitler had. He was the National Socialist Party, the Nationalist Socialist Party of Germany. Yes, Hitler was socialist. That's a fact that most people don't know or don't care to know. But patriotism and nationalism are two different things. And I'm a proud patriot of Canada. I think Canada is one of the best places to live in the world. We've got freedom to a certain extent. Well, as much freedom, almost as much freedom as America. We have great food. We are tolerant We are tolerant of different ideas. We are tolerant of everyone, regardless of who they are. There's a difference between tolerance and acceptance. There was actually a speech, entire thing last night where one of the speakers talked about what is tolerance, and it was very interesting. Unfortunately, I didn't go, but I heard some of the points. Very interesting. And I think we all should have tolerance for everyone, regardless of who they are. But tolerance and acceptance are two different things. I think we should have tolerance for everyone. And that's what we have here in Canada. And it's great. Patriotism can range from anything from defending your country against threats that would, you know, try and take up down everything your country stands for, like ISIS and the Nazis in World War II, to simply supporting your Canada at the Olympics. That's patriotism, too. You're saying, go Canada. I'm from there. These athletes are representing my country, and I love my country, so go Canada. So patriotism covers a wide spectrum of things, and I'd say to a certain extent, everyone is patriotic. Everyone says, hey, I'm part of here. I am from here. This is my country. I love it. I'd say Western values in general, you know, Canada, America, U.S., Western values are probably better values than, say, ISIS or Sharia law. So I'd say that Canada, great place to live, and that's why I'm so patriotic, and that's why I joined the army. In Canada, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of religion, freedom of association, and those freedoms are very rare. And we need to have a patriotism that is understanding, accepting, and we have that here in Canada. And we're just so accepting, and that's why I'm patriotic. That's why I love Canada. Some people say, oh, Canada isn't the greatest country in the world. Yes, Canada is definitely one of the greatest countries in the world. That's why we have such high immigration. People want to come here. People want to come and live in Canada because we're great. And we need to teach history and by what's important and not what's political or what's in fashion, because that's showing us that, hey, Canada's done some bad things past, but look at all these great things we've done. We beat the Nazis. Canada was an essential part in beating the Nazis in World War II. We did that, along with the help of other great countries like Britain and the U.S. We did that. Canada's great. We live in a great society that is tolerant and accepting, and people died so we can live in the country that we live in today. Canada is great. So when people say that you shouldn't be patriotic, no, you should. You should be patriotic. You should be proud to live in Canada. Even if you're an immigrant to this country, you now live in one of the greatest countries in the world. Be proud of that. Welcome to Canada. Welcome to one of the greatest countries in the world. So yeah, people always say to me, Quint, why do you love Canada so much? Because it's great. We've got poutine and Tim Hortons. I can go and win a free coffee right now. It's great. Anywho, that's why I love Canada so much. Canada is phenomenal. And I wish Satha was on here because she had said that she wanted to talk about patriotism more, but, you know, c'est la vie. John Lennon once said, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. I was just about to talk about the song I'm going to play next, but no. So yeah, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Wish Satha could have come on, but oh well. Anywho, here is Johnny Cash, God's Not Let You Down. Now, unfortunately, we do have to move into some sadder news. I feel like it would be awkward, since I did talk about gun control at the top of the show, if I didn't mention the unfortunate events that took place in New Zealand recently. It's very sad. At least 49 people were killed and 20 seriously injured in mass shootings at two mosques in New Zealand in a carefully planned and unprecedented attack. It's really sad because obviously I do sport guns, but when people do this, it's so sad. And it's this guy, he was a horrible person. Horrible person to do that to anyone. Doesn't matter what your religion is. Doesn't matter what your race is. Anyone who does this is a horrible person. I think we can all agree on that. And it was a lone gunman. He targeted two mosques recently. I believe it was yesterday in New Zealand. And he live streamed it on YouTube just to make it worse. That guy, and since I can say this on air, that guy's a douchebag. I call him worse, but I'm on air. Three people were arrested. The 28-year-old man, was charged with murder and is scheduled to appear in court on Saturday morning. Two others were arrested for suspicion to possess firearms. And obviously, I hope these guys get the worst punishment that New Zealand can dish out. The worst punishment. Now, I don't know if... I don't want to comment on the death penalty or whatever, but I hope they just... these guys were horrible individuals. And listen, I'm Christian, but I don't want to... If this happened in a church, people might say, oh, Quinn, you're just doing that because you're Christian. No, this is a horrible attack that happened, that regardless of who it happened to, is horrible. Mass shooting shouldn't happen to anyone. I don't care what your views are. I don't care what you believe. This is why I promote freedom of speech. Talk to a person and talk to them about why you disagree with them. Don't do this stupid stuff. This guy, there's so many things. I want all this guy. These people who did this attack. They are the worst, they are some of the worst forms of human being in the world. They are the lowest of the low. They are down there with rapists and... just, they're the lowest of the low as far as humans go, to lay out this attack on innocent human beings. And this guy even had, he had an 87-page manifesto that was just anti-Muslim, and he was just a horrible human being. Now, I don't agree with everything in Islam, but I would never do this. I don't think any sensible human being would do this. This gunman was a horrible person. And just, I wish there was some way that, we could all just sit down and stop this from happening in the future. Because it's just a horrible thing to happen to anyone. And I'm just reading the CNN report on it right now. Apparently, armed police were deployed after the first receiving reports of the shootings at 1:40 p.m. Friday local time in New Zealand. I realize that it's Friday here in Canada right now. It's only 1:30, but New Zealand, different time zone. So this technically happened yesterday for them, but earlier today for us. So armed police were deployed. And apparently, and they were just, the people at the mosque were just convening there for prayers, as they do, and two improvised explosive devices were attached to a vehicle parked outside. One device was disabled, and authorities are working on the other. A number of weapons were also recovered at these locations. Police urged the residents to stay indoors. And honestly, an attack like this is horrible. The Prime Minister was quoted as saying this is one of New Zealand's darkest days. Continuing that quote, what has happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. No, and has no place in New Zealand or anywhere in the world for that matter. That's me adding on to that quote, but the president said this has no place. Sorry, Prime Minister added on that it had no place in New Zealand, and I agree, yeah. And I'd just like to echo the words of the New Zealand president when she said, for now, my thoughts, and I'm sure the thoughts of all New Zealanders, are with those who are being affected and with the families. And our thoughts are with you. I hope there's some way we can make sure that mass shootings like this do not happen. We need to sit down. We need to have a serious talk about this, because we need to talk about what drives a person to do this? What drives a person to commit this horrible type of crime? It's just awful that this would happen. And people will often turn this political and say, it's either his political views that did this. And in this case, it was an act of anti-Muslim attack, which is horrible. But some people often like to turn it into a tribute to gun violence. I'm not going to address that because I feel that's very inappropriate for right now. But it's just horrible that this had to happen. And I'm just blown away that someone would do such a heinous act to anyone. Our thoughts and prayers from everyone here at Radio Laurie. I think to speak with everyone here at Radio Laurie when I say our thoughts and prayers are with those who are affected. And if there's any way that we can help, I know we're a small radio station, but if there's any way that we can help, I hope that we can. Thank you. This song is Prayers by Good Charlotte, going out to those who are affected.
Born on a lonely planet, full of broken dreams.
So I realized that just got really depressing on my show, and I feel like it needed to be addressed, but let's try and move on to something positive now. St. Patrick's Day, obviously very popular here at Laurier. We have the Ezra Street Party every year, and I'm on the CBC website right now, and they have this statement from the City of Waterloo. The 2018 St. Patrick's Day cost the city WRPS, Waterloo Region Police Service, Waterloo Fire Rescue, Waterloo Paramedic Services, Wolfthorpe University, and the University of Waterloo a combined $713,500. Now people look at that and say, "Ooh, dude, that's one hell of a party, man." But that's also really bad. People did a lot of that. That would say, mean that people were getting pulled away in ambulances. People were getting, you know, arrested for public intoxication. People were breaking stuff, hypothetically. So here's a breakdown of what they spent the money on. $330,000 for policing, because they have to have police covering as a street, you know, make sure no one's doing anything stupid. $62,500 for the city of Waterloo. Now you think, oh, that's probably more expensive than what Laurier spent. Nope. Wolf Laurier University had to spend $191,000 on the St. Patrick's Day party. I'm assuming that's for damages. That's for a whole bunch of stuff. So we spent more than the city of Waterloo. We spent more than city of Waterloo and University of Waterloo combined. Combined, those two only spent $72,500. Laurier spent over twice that, which is crazy. And then the regional paramedic services spent $120,000. Now, obviously, those costs are not sustainable. This money could be better used to meet other community needs, like maybe, I don't know, more funding for Laurier for better programs. But the mayor said, we all recognize and respect the constitutional freedom for peaceful assembly. That's why you should be patriotic, because we do have that. But we have seen a disturbing trend with these unsanctioned events where some people are taking unnecessary risks and potentially compromising the safety of others. A task force was assembled and created solution to look at solutions, and will focus on three major outcomes for this year: reduce the event size over 1 or 2 years, refocus the event over the next 5 years, and prevent escalation over 5 years beyond. However, estimated last year they had an estimated 22,000 people jammed into Ezra Street. This year they are projected to have 35,000 people come to Ezra Street. Now obviously that's not going to be good, because that means you have to spend more on policing, more on paramedics. Laurier might have to spend unfortunately more which is money that could go to other things. So please, this St. Patrick's Day, enjoy yourselves, obviously, but be safe, be responsible. Don't do anything stupid that you're going to regret in the morning. Don't end up in prison. That's a good rule for life. Don't do anything that would land you in jail. Don't do it. And just please be safe, wear green, limit the amount of drinks you have, and just be safe out there, folks, because we all want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but at the same time, we all want to, you know, be safe and you know. Anywho, I did cover a lot of St. Patrick's Day, about just the traditions and all that. And if you want to listen to that episode, you can go on to RadioLaurier.com. That episode from last week will be uploaded soon. We talked about how the original color of St. Patrick's Day was actually blue instead of green. It was sort of a light baby blue because that was the color of St. Patrick. But then it got changed to green when it became more of a celebration of Ireland instead of a celebration of St. Patrick himself, who was the patron saint of Ireland. So then it got changed to green. We talked about how Americans made it more into a drinking thing than a celebration of Ireland, and how the Irish sort of adopted that too after the Americans influenced, because of the Irish influence in America when they came to Boston and other places like that. Now, I figure since it is St. Patrick's Day coming up, I'll play a little Irish hooligan music for you. Here's the very popular Bostonian hooligan band, I don't know what you'd call them really, dropped at Murphy's, I'm shipping out to Boston. Howdy folks, I am back for a little while longer, just until the next show comes. You will have to boot me off the air because I love talking to you guys so much. So, speaking of St. Patrick's Day, this is a little Irish story for me. The first legal drink I ever had was a Guinness in a British-Irish pub called the Black Badger. That was the first legal drink I ever had, and that is my favorite sort of St. Patrick's-esque story, just because, you know, Ireland and whatnot. Guinness is one of my top five favorite beers. Lots of calories, so I don't usually drink it, but on special occasions, I will have myself a Guinness, and it's delicious. It's sort of smoky, chocolatey, beery flavor, and I love it. But then, please do drink responsibly. Don't get wasted, but people will get wasted anyways, because people will be people. Welcome to Canada, you have the right to do that. Just please be responsible on St. Patrick's Day, folks. Just to sort of sum up the show, unfortunately, Shatha cannot make it today. She had work, but I hope to get her on soon. I've got some guests lined up for the next 3 weeks, I think. But next 2 or 3 weeks, not 100% sure on that number, but my little sister's coming on next week, so that'll be very fun. I love seeing her. I haven't seen her in a little while, so I'm excited to have her on. She's definitely coming on. She might bring a friend, and she's going to be picking all the music, and she wants to play like game shows like Are You Smarter Than a Sixth Grader, because she's in sixth grade right now. So that'll be fun. And so tune in for that if you want to hear an adorable episode of the Bravo Sierra Hour. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to another episode that's coming up in the near future. I will be having my Aunt Kim on, who is a major advocate for nature and specifically conservation of wildlife and bees. I had talked with her recently, and we were talking about just misconceptions people have about raising honeybees versus other bees that are actually endangered, and just misinformation that's going around that comes from a good place, but people tend to have misconceived notions of what it actually means that bees are going extinct, because they are. It's just not what you think. So I'm very excited for that episode too. So please keep listening to our show. We love you all. I've got 2 minutes left, so I'm really buying time here, folks. But please do stay safe at Ezra. If you're going to Ezra, if you're going to Morty's, if you're going to Pub on King, whatever, wherever you intend to go, please stay safe. I know I'm going to be hanging with my roommate, John. He doesn't drink or anything, which is that I'm probably just going to have one drink myself, just in celebration of St. Patty's Day. You're going to go down to Wilf's, have a beer and some of their delicious food, because I love Wilf's food. If you haven't tried Wilf's food, whoo, have I got news for you. You're missing out. Try their spin dip or their sugar wrap. Both are delicious. And plus, you can go on Monday and I do stand-up comedy there, which is hilarious. It's great. I don't want to spoil any of it for you guys, just because, you know, then you won't come out to the show because you're like, no way, I've heard this bit before. But I do have this one bit. Listen, none of what I say should be taken seriously. When I'm on stage, I'm like Bob Marley. He didn't really shoot the sheriff, but I'm pretty sure he didn't keep the deputy alive either. So we're just here there to have a laugh, joke about stuff, and have a good time. So come on out every Monday, 10 p.m. We'll also open mic. There is great food, great performers, myself included, but also there's great musicians. Last week they had the 5 days of homelessness or something like that. These people were living outside to draw attention to people who may not be in the best scenarios. They might be homeless. They might be living in shelters. And they were living outside for 5 days near the Fred Nichols building just to draw attention to that. So they had an open mic to sort of promote that cause, which was great. I got to also hear some amazing poetry by one of the performers. That was also amazing. So come out to Wilf's every Monday, 10 p.m. The open mic's always fun. And you guys have a safe weekend. I don't want to hear about Laurie in the news unless we're winning another award. Because Laurier should be winning more awards, not for drinking, but for student satisfaction, because we have won that a lot. We should win it more. I do not get paid by Wilf's, unfortunately, but I do a lot of commercials for their open mic and their food, just because I love those guys so much. The owner's a great guy. But if anyone from Wilf's is listening, hey, hit me up, because I like earning a little extra cash, and I'm promoting you guys, so, you know. Anywho, that's my show for today, folks. Tune in next week for the most adorable episode of the Bravo Sierra Hour, and I'll see you guys next week. Here's Crooked Shadows by a band I've never heard of before.